failed. The British government really needed a solution. So here comes another report.
The commission is studying the 20-year-old Jewish settlements in British-mandated Palestine.
The 1939 White Paper created a conflict between the British and the Zionists for the first time, because it rejected partition and said the solution was for Palestine to gain independence within 10 years, with everyone living there sharing it together. Crucially, it also imposed severe limits on Jewish land purchases and immigration. To the Zionists, this felt like a betrayal. In response, some set off bombs across the country, killing dozens of Palestinians. But soon, everyone was distracted by something much bigger. More than 60 million people were killed in World War II, including 6 million Jews murdered in Nazi death camps. Jewish survivors fled Europe, with a large number of them trying to find safety in Palestine despite the British limit on Jewish immigration. This set off a more direct confrontation between the Zionists and the British, with Palestinians often targeted as well. The Zionists knew two things. Militarily, they were stronger than the Palestinians, and Britain was exhausted by World War II, so it wouldn't have the stomach to keep fighting in Palestine. They were right. In 1947, after 30 years of occupation, Britain announced it was quitting Palestine and asked the newly formed United Nations to clean up its mess. Alright, 1947 and 1948 are the most pivotal years in this story, so let's take a look at how things are lining up. During British rule, Jews had gone from 10% to 30% of the population, and owned about 6% of the land. Under Ben-Gurion's leadership, the Jewish Agency was pretty much functioning as a government for the Jewish community. And the Zionist militias had tens of thousands of soldiers, modern weapons, and officers who'd already fought in World War II. On the other side, the Palestinians hadn't been allowed to develop their own administration or military. But as they waited for the UN solution, they were still the majority all over the country. In November 1947, the UN, then only made up of a fraction of the world's countries, voted to partition Palestine. This plan marked off 55% of the country for a Jewish state, but the UN never explained how it could be a Jewish state when half the people in its territory were Palestinian. To nobody's surprise, Palestinians, and in fact all Arabs, rejected the UN's plan. Ben-Gurion and the Zionist leadership accepted, but they saw an opportunity. With the British on the way out, the Zionists knew they would have the strongest military in Palestine. Their forces were instructed to seize more territory than they'd been awarded by the UN, and to do what was necessary to reduce the number of Palestinians in it. In cities like Haifa, the militia set off car bombs in Palestinian neighborhoods. They attacked villages and forced residents out.
Haganah troops have driven the Arabs out of the beleaguered city, taking many prisoners.
After inspecting parts of Western Jerusalem that had been emptied of Palestinians, Ben-Gurion said,
"In many Arab neighborhoods in the West, you do not see even one Arab. If we persist, it is quite possible that in the next 6 or 8 months, there will be considerable changes in the country, and to our advantage."
One of the events that helped speed up these changes took place on April 9th, 1948, when the village of Deir Yassin was attacked. A British government report to the United Nations describes the scene. 250 people were killed in circumstances of great savagery. Women and children were stripped, lined up, photographed, and then slaughtered by automatic firing. The story of what happened at Deir Yassin set off panic all over the country. As news spread, people fled, fearing they would be next. Historians have recorded dozens of similar massacres during this period. Each time, they would result in entire communities fleeing. By the time Britain ended its mandate on May 15th, 1948, 250,000 Palestinians had fled. The night before, David Ben-Gurion announced the founding of the State of Israel, with himself as its first prime minister. He was standing under a giant portrait of Herzl, 51 years after Herzl had predicted this very moment. The Zionist militias came together as the newly formed Israel Defense Forces, but the fighting wasn't over. With the British out of the way, soldiers from several Arab countries entered Palestine. But the Israeli army was better equipped, better organized, and unlike the Arab armies, had a unified command and backing from several European countries. Israeli forces pushed into places that the UN had assigned to the Palestinian state, like the towns of Lidda and Ramle. 50,000 people were forced to flee from there, many on foot, in what became known as the Lidda Death March. After being emptied, the towns were given Hebrew names, Lod and Ramla. Like in many other empty towns, the buildings and homes were taken over by the new Israeli state and given to Jews. By the time the UN secured an armistice, three quarters of the Palestinian people had become refugees.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.